Welcome to Health, Happiness and Homeopathy. Hello, my name is Madeleine Innocent. I want to help you reach your greatest potential through holistic means, which are both logical and empowering. This podcast is about supporting yourself. We've seen a lot of hardship in the past 3 years. People have lost friends, lost jobs, lost their family, and it's really been tough for many. But it doesn't have to be. Crisis always has a purpose, but we tend to look at a crisis as negative because it disrupts our lives, our routine or our thinking. But sometimes we need a good shake-up. We can so easily get stuck in a rut, and if that rut is taking us in the wrong direction, then sometimes it needs a crisis to make us turn around. We need a crisis because people can be quite stubborn. One thing to keep in mind is that nothing is impossible, or as my dad used to say, the impossible takes a little longer. Pearls only grow when there's an irritant, an irritation in their shells. It seems humans only change when there is an irritant, and one big enough to disrupt their lives. So instead of relying on a job or the government to rescue you and support you, I'm suggesting that you take control and help yourself. Helping yourself is not only one of the biggest and best ways to enrich your life, it has a knock-on effect. Others want to know what you're doing. They want some of that. And that's one of the greatest compliments you can have. You can help them by helping yourself, showing them what you do. And this can happen in health, in work, in anything. When you're thriving, whatever that means for you, you're happy and fulfilled. And really, that's basically what everybody wants. So don't try to help others until you've helped yourself. We all know of people who will drop anything and everything to help others except their loved ones. This absolutely does not work. We need to put our own lives in order first. And we're not authentic unless we do that. So to change the world, we have to change the way we function in the world. From an early age, I always wanted to be independent. As a teenager and young woman, I kept searching for ideas on how that could be. I knew I wanted to be in my own business. My training and my first career really didn't satisfy me, but it did teach me quite a few lessons. Working for someone else, just following instructions, without any overall concept of the end goals, was frustrating. And then I met somebody who had good ideas and we flourished as a team. He with the ideas and practical skills to create a much needed product, me with the drive and desire to make a successful business. Eventually we fell out and parted ways, but out of that partnership I did develop some strong views, which I still have. One of them is that small is beautiful. A small business means the owners are in touch with all the staff and all the customers. It's a very human business. And I still feel that a good business shouldn't have more than about 10 people all up. You can lose touch when there are too many. You get to know what problems people face and how to help them. Being a business owner is definitely hard work. You tend to live and breathe it. And if you're not careful, partners, children, family members, they can suffer. So you have to learn to walk a tightrope at times. But one thing that did stand out very clearly, we were providing much needed products. And we not only survived a recession, but we actually thrived. I now belong to an entrepreneurs group, and what the creator of that group shows is that entrepreneurs are thriving in today's political climate, and they have done for the past 3 years when so many were losing their jobs because they refused to relinquish their core values, and rightly so. When you lose your job, it can also mean you lose your home and perhaps your family if they're not on board with you. So this podcast is really about freedom. Do you want freedom? Do you want to be financially secure? Do you want to be in control of your working life? Are you tired of the hurdles you have to jump through to get a job that may not be fulfilling or financially rewarding? Are you ready to live? So I want to start with a quote from Veronica. Veronica's is a channel. I've adapted it a little to be more readable for those who are not familiar with the way it's presented. In the ever chaotic physical reality, it is so easy to become one with the chaos. There comes a time in every life where one realizes that no one can tell them how or what to think. In a culture that wishes to dominate all thought processes, it is important to remain independent of other influences while embarking or while embracing the boundless possibilities. Decide to identify as a spirit instead of your biology or your body. One is limitless, while the other is the ultimate dead-end confinement. We know it's difficult to be limitless in a dense physical reality. Dramatics build up into a seemingly impossible level, and this causes disruption. But by remembering who you are, i.e. a spiritual being having a physical experience, the opportunity to evolve increases. Your thoughts are your own. Allow them to manifest without influence. Free will means free will. Treasure and nurture your own thoughts. They are the true gift of physical life. They are to be honoured, not discarded. Use them to become more. So I believe everyone has something in them. Something that may have been stifled from an early age in the name of being normal, whatever that is, that they do well. The trouble with us funny human creatures is that when we do something well, we just accept it. But others may do something else well and what you do really badly. So the product or service or whatever it is that you do well, you may just take it for granted. And it doesn't have to be a physical thing. It could be an idea or a way to support somebody's inability to manage their life. It's amazing what is out there. And with the internet and the ability to learn how to use it getting easier, it doesn't take a lot of either hard cash or business know-how to start. It's probably never been easier to get started and to flourish. You don't have to throw in your paid job immediately. You can start small and grow the business in your spare time. Then there comes a time when you just know it's the right time to take the plunge. Some great person once said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but the mastery of it." I really like that. So we all fear. We all have fears. We all can identify with fear. But really, you know, fear is empty. If you really look at it, it's empty. So we just have to know it's there and appreciate why it's there. You know, fear to run away from something dangerous is one thing, but fear that's used to control us is something else again. It's often advised to pass your ideas around family and friends. While that can be a good start, they may also knock you for various reasons. One may be because they take your skills for granted as well. Another could be because your venture, your growth, threatens them. I know that sounds weird. It's known as the tall poppy syndrome. You're standing out. And they don't like that because it threatens their security for some peculiar reason. So be cautious. Don't be knocked off balance easily. It might be better to look online to see if others are doing what you do well. If there are, you know it works. And don't fall for that hairy old chestnut that the market is saturated. If others are doing it, there's room for you. There are a lot of self-employed house cleaners, but that doesn't stop new people starting out. In fact, that was a way for many to support themselves when they'd lost their job. Some of the ideas that came up was that you can do it better than others. You can be sympathetic to any animals in the house so they don't dread your visit. You can use environmentally clean products. You could employ others and grow into a reputable business. So I appreciate that not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, but entrepreneurs also need staff. In the last 3 years, when many small businesses went under, many survived by thinking outside the square. For example, many small restaurants didn't survive, but those that did started an offshoot of delivering ready-made meals. While there are people in the world, there is an opportunity to provide them with something they need and are willing to pay for, or to barter for. Bartering doesn't have to involve cash. It's an exchange, so both parties benefit. So this idea of herding people into working for mega corporations can be discarded for the fanciful idea it is. You're just a number in a corporation. No one really cares about you, despite lip service. All they want is to take everything you can give them and then spit you out at the end. And the product, be it a service or physical thing, is not energetically valuable because it wasn't made with love. It was more likely made by frustrated, bored, and lifeless people. A soulless job leads people to do things they would never normally do. How many atrocities are people doing and have done in the past in the name of, I'm just doing my job? People become automatons, soulless beings, no empathy, no feelings. And that's totally unacceptable at every level, but particularly for the person. They have cut themselves off from their source. Their health will deteriorate. It just can't not. When I go out into the world, I smile at people and engage in spontaneous, trivial, passing chit-chat. And the number of people who can't do that, they can't respond. They just dumbly glance at me. It's amazing. Is anyone there? The lights are on, but is anyone at home? I hear endless stories of ridiculous working hours in corporations, disruption in free time, and then dismissal when the market slows. No hint of appreciation or loyalty outside what they have to do legally. I think the best entrepreneurs are those who have faced adversity and they've not surrendered their core convictions. They know what's right for them and that's not negotiable and they're responsible. Or maybe they did surrender and now feel that that wasn't a good move. Honesty and responsibility almost guarantees success in business because these are values others appreciate. It means you're reliable. Of course, you need to have your wits about you as well. Many, many small businesses fail in the first year or two, and I have a feeling this is because people go into it for the wrong reasons. They think they're going to get rich quick and be the idol of the local community. An old friend fell out with me years ago because I actually couldn't help him with the funeral expenses of a homeless sick friend who had died while staying with him. He thought that as I was in business, actually I was just starting out at the time, I must be earning piles. I wish. In fact, he would not have been prepared to swap bank balances. Thinking of going into your own business can be scary. But when you just take one step at a time, and that when it feels right, you can achieve it. You just have to keep going. Don't expect to be an expert in either your field or in business when you start out. Life is a journey. You keep learning as you need to. Just make sure you're humble enough to do that. No one is an expert when they start out. As a student homeopath, I used to offer free consultations in my last year. And then as a newly qualified homeopath, I undercut the market norm until I felt I was actually doing some good. When you look back over the last 10 to 20 years of your life, you can appreciate that knowing what you know now would have been overwhelming for you then. And inappropriate, as it's the life lessons that take you forward. How often have you heard somebody who changed their life for the better after a serious incident? Many people diagnosed with cancer have said exactly that. The diagnosis took them on a fabulous, nurturing, healing journey where new friends were made and old destructive habits released. They created a new life they would never have dreamt of before the diagnosis. They directed their attention away from the problem towards the solution. There's a book called 2 Weeks' Notice by Amy Porterfield. It's about what I've been discussing here, but here are some of her questions to ask yourself. Do you want freedom? Why? Your why is crucial to understand on your down days. What do you need to do to achieve that why? What are you good at? Who do you want to serve? And remember, you only need to be 10% ahead of those you wish to serve in the initial stage. Where are people spending money? What do you enjoy doing? And don't try to be perfect to start with, just get started. Be open to growth, as things are likely to change. Everybody has a business in them. Believe that you can. Some really good advice, I think, she gives. You'll have some down days when you think you can't, and just remember to follow every negative thought with a positive one. For example, after a thought such as, who do I think I am? I can't do this. It's way beyond my abilities. Follow it with a thought such as, what a beautiful blue sky. I always feel better than when the sun's shining. Or, I'm learning a lot about the people where I'm living or working. Or, plants and animals are so amazing. Whatever life throws at them, they flourish. Just look at the variety of life that now flourishes at the site of the Chernobyl nuclear wasteland. I can learn from them. You could ask, why am I talking about this one when I'm a health practitioner? I believe that when you're in a job that does not satisfy you, your health deteriorates. Because of the time spent in your working life, if much of that is not in keeping with your core values, it's destructive. We need joy, love, and appreciation in our lives. We need to feel we're contributing to a better world. And we could be achieving all that as a stay-at-home parent. That's an amazing job with multiple roles all in one. Bringing up balanced children with open minds and ability to discern and the confidence to do what they're drawn to may be one of the most important jobs anyone can have. So I want to end this with an example. Thomas Paine was born in England in 1737. He had little education, but he could write, and he had a strong sense of fair play. He was unsuccessful and unhappy in every job. He had 2 brief marriages. Then he met Benjamin Franklin, who suggested he go to America. In America, Paine argued that the cause of America shouldn't just be about the unjust taxation, but should be for independence. He wrote about his ideas in a publication called Common Sense, which was published in 1776. It was widely read and paved the way for the Declaration of Independence. Here he was a little guy who was unsuccessful in everything he did. He had hardly any education, but he had a strong conviction. His ideas are as relevant then, or should I say today, as they were then. So let me just quote one quote in the publication Common Sense. Some writers have so confounded society with government as to leave little or no distinction between them, whereas there are not only differences but have different origins. Society is produced by our wants and government by our wickedness. The former promotes our positivity by uniting our affections, the latter our negativity by restraining our vices. The one encourages intercourse, the other creates distortions. The first a patron, the last a punisher. These are the times that try men's souls.